Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, UK Bills Mafia. This is Christian Wade of your Buffalo Bills. This is the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast with your hosts, Matt and Alex. Let's go, Buffalo! Woo!
Welcome to the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues. This episode, we will be speaking to UK Broncos fan Thomas Ritchie. Alex, you're here joining me. What do you think of the game? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I mean, based off of the game last year, it looks like a W on paper. But then when you look at all the additions they made, and, you know, we'll talk a lot about that. The more I think about this game, the more I'm a little bit worried about it, especially with it being an away game. Late in the season, injuries could happen. You know, anything. It's definitely one of those wait and see before you judge it kind of scenarios. I mean, if we were playing in week two, I would say their offense needs more time to gel. We'll be all right. Win in week two. But in week 14, it's a little bit weird. They have a good defense from last year. They had a lot of additions on offense. No, I don't want to keep saying I'm worried about all these opponents that we have, but that's what it kind of looks like. I mean, what do you think?
I think it's going to be an interesting game. It's going to be a good defense against a good offense with the additions they've made with Judy, with Hamler, Melvin Gordon on there. I think that's going to be the real key, how they can get to that pass rush and neutralize them. Because add Cortland Sutton into that mix, who's been really good last season for them. That's the potential to really trouble any defense. I mean, obviously, we'll have Trey White locking down probably Sutton.
I'll probably say Sutton,
And then you've got Levi Wallace or Josh Norman actually on Jerry Jeudy. That's going to be a mismatch right there, probably. But we'll see.
I mean, if that guy gets his feet early in the season and he can get acclimated quickly, he's going to be a terror because they already have Sutton. And they drafted another wide receiver later in the draft, too. So it's like they're – and Fant, Noah Fant from last year, Melvin Gordon, they're stacked. And it's all kind of on Drew Lock. We talk a lot about Drew Lock in the interview. So,
Here's the interview we had with Thomas Ritchie. Enjoy.
Enjoy.
And we are joined on the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues by UK Broncos' Thomas Ritchie. Thomas, thank you very much for joining us on the show.
No problem. It's fun to be on and talking to some other UK fans.
Yep, we all love that. We all love working and actually communicating and learning from each other.
Yeah, and even though I live in the UK, very much not British. So sorry to let you down. But one thing that I'm interested in, and I'm pretty much asking everybody this that we're interviewing, is how does someone in the UK become a Broncos fan? What's your story?
Well, it was 2012, I think, Monday night football game, which I think back then were on BBC Red Button Channel. Mark Chapman presenting with someone else, possibly. And the Broncos were playing, I think it was the Falcons. And I think they actually lost that game. But it was, I think it was early on in the Peyton Manning era. And I just kind of fell for him and the Broncos in that, even though they lost, but and then it just went on from there.
Yeah, that's good.
Who was the running back? Was that Clinton Portis? Was that I can't remember.
Sean Moreno, his first.
Ooh, yeah, that was a flash in the pan, wasn't it?
Yeah, Portis was he was gone before Champ Bailey, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that was the trade. So it was a long time before that.
The mid-2000s, the 2010, that was a big blur for me.
Yeah, no, I can understand that.
Too much hot sauce, too much wings, too much blue cheese, too much beer. Is that right?
Yeah, no, I think I had just moved out by that time. So it's my first apartment. I was pretty much drunk every night. But anyway, not important. Let's talk about football.
Yes. Let's talk about your off-season, the Broncos off-season. I mean, obviously you've, with your wide receivers, Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, KJ Hamler, and all that. You've got Melvin Gordon. is this now all on Drew Lock in his second, I assume it's his first full season, second season going, first full season, about his progression? And obviously, how do you think that offense is actually going to look? And obviously, your offseason as a whole.
Yeah, so obviously we started, he started five games last year, Drew Lock, went 4-1 at the end, kind of picked up a abysmal offense, really, and you know, managed to get something out of it. I mean, going into Houston, that was the big one where they put up 38 points. And so, yeah, this off season's kind of been all around building for Drew Lock, bringing in, you know, Melvin Gordon to go with Philip Lindsay. So that should, you know, help make sure Drew Lock doesn't have to do it all himself.
Yeah.
And getting the weapons, Jeudy, Hamler, to go with Sutton and Fant that they already had. And then bringing in Okwuegbunam, I think.
I was going to ask you, how tight end
from Missouri, who should come in as like the second or third tight end. And, you know, he's got that familiarity with Lock as well. So,
yeah.
And the Broncos asked Drew Lock what they thought of him. So that shows, you know, that they know that Drew Lock should be the guy for this season at least.
Yeah, no, it's shaped up well on that offense. I mean, I say to get Jeudy is one thing. To get KJ Hamler, who was borderline first round in the second as well. That's, was it second or was it third? You got
second,
Hamler.
Yeah, second round.
Yeah, to get those two in those in the early rounds is just obviously testament to how the board fell. But obviously, you've got two potential first round graded wide receivers to pair up to that explosive offense that you're creating.
Yeah, it's a little greedy. I mean, can you leave some wide receivers for the rest of us, please?
Yeah, I know. The Hamler pick did surprise quite a few people, but obviously he's got that unique skill set with that speed that he provides something different to what Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy provide. And I know that Chad Ochocinco has been very big on saying the Broncos have three number one receivers in effect. So hopefully that proves true, and that all, you know, Jeudy, I think Judy's got a very high floor.
Yeah.
Hamler has a high ceiling. Obviously, he'll have a lower floor than Jeudy. So
Sutton's
to go with what we've already got in Sutton,
yeah,
it could be exciting if it all clicks.
Yeah, it's an exciting time, I guess, for a Broncos fan.
Well, after the last few years, yeah. It's been a few years since it was exciting, especially watching this offense, but it's finally coming back around now.
The offense really does look stacked. When you look at the running back position with Melvin Gordon now, is Royce Freeman still there too?
Yeah, Freeman, I am. I'm not sure if he will still be there come cut day, but you know, they've got a couple of you know, undrafted guys who offer something different with their speed, who, you know, Levante Bellamy, I think, is one who could end up, you know.
Yeah.
When guys are getting limited snaps as a third running back would be behind Lindsay and Gordon, you kind of maybe want someone who offers something different. So, Freeman is there at the moment, but whether he is come week one, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, no, I like Bellamy. He was actually one that I was actually watching college run when he was playing in the MAC against the Buffalo Bulls. I really like what he actually could do, and some of the games he's had, he's going to be a game breaker, especially if you're going to get him on the long downs or a short game. So, and you've also still got Philip Lindsay, am I right in saying?
Yeah, Lindsay's 2 1,000-yard seasons as an undrafted guy. I don't think he was particularly happy when Melvin Gordon came in.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think in the long run, it could be good for him. And, you know, Melvin Gordon's contract runs out when Lindsay needs to be paid. So if, you know, if Lindsay continues in his progression, then the Broncos should have a relatively easy decision to make in a couple of years' time.
Yeah.
I mean, Melvin Gordon was a game breaker. I mean, do you think he still has his legs? I mean, is it going to be like a 50-50 split? Is it Lindsay's job still? What's that backfield going to look like?
I mean, I think it will be pretty close to a 50-50 split. I mean, when you're paying a guy $8 million this year, he's not going to be taking a backseat, really, unless, you know, he completely burns out. But, I mean, Gordon, he scores touchdowns as well, which the Broncos have struggled to finish drives. And, you know, that could be where Gordon is most useful for this offense, is getting in the end zone and converting those drives into 7 points instead of three. And the Broncos can get scoring points, you know, 25 plus instead of 18-19.
I mean, we're talking much about the offense. Obviously, your defense is still one of the best. Obviously, you've got Von Miller. You added, was it Jarrell Casey, AJ Bowie, picked up some good, a good drafty, and Michael Umudie.
Umudie.
Yeah, that's the one.
We picked some draft picks with some interesting names.
Yes.
But
do you think it's actually added and actually going to make you more stronger this year, or is there still, have you had losses, i.e. actually moving on from free agency, that could set you back? How do you feel now about the defense as well as the offense?
Well, it's the highest paid defense in the league, so I think, you know, the expectation is that it should be a top five defense, especially with Vic Fangio. And the pass rush now looks very good with, you know, Chubb coming back, who missed a lot of last year, opposite Von Miller, and then you've got Jarrell Casey in the middle, Draymond Jones coming into his second year. So that front looks very, very strong. And then you've got the linebackers, Alexander Johnson last year, you know, coming almost out of nowhere, didn't play the first four games. And then, you know, I mean, for me, he had a Pro Bowl caliber last 12 games. So if he can continue that forward, he was a guy highly thought of when he was at college, then had some legal problems, eventually cleared his name, and now he's, you know, getting his chance in the NFL. Then Todd Davis next to him as well. He's just a reliable tackler. You know, he gets the job done against the run. And the secondary is obviously the interesting one as you talk about losses. Chris Harris Jr. moving on. I think his best days are possibly behind him. It's almost an
upgrade then with Bowie.
Yeah, he struggled big time, you know, against like the Chiefs. He wanted to be paired against the number one receiver at the start of the season and at the end of the season, saying that he's better in the slot and that's where it should be played. So not quite sure what he wants, but you know, we've got Bryce Callahan fit, hopefully, who could be the slot guy. And then, as you said, AJ Bowie should be the number one. Then behind those two, I mean, there's a lot of guys with upside. OJ Moody, as you mentioned there. Devontae Harris flashed last year. Duke Dawson, who was a second-round pick for the Patriots just a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Devontae Ballsby, who came out of the AAF, I think it is, and he looked very good before getting injured. So the secondary behind those two veteran guys, there's a lot of upside there. Obviously, you have to hope a couple of those guys click and, you know, can become solid third, fourth guys in the secondary. If they don't, it could be a bit of trouble. But again, there's lots of potential there, even though at the moment it's not proven.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it sounds like this roster is something that if it clicks, it's going to be top. Our game last year, it was kind of a cakewalk for us. Our defense dominated a bad offense, and our offense did enough against a good defense. Everything that we're talking about here today makes me worried about our matchup. What do you think about the game for 2020?
Yeah, I mean, I think I desperately hope the days of our offense putting in performances like that are behind us. I would like to think that, I mean, I know he's in the top 100, but I would like to think that Drew Lock can become better than Josh Allen as a quarterback in this league.
I would be
disappointed if he isn't. I think he has flashed the ability to surpass Allen. You know, maybe not this year, but long term. But I think with the weapons he's got around him now, you know, that should make that jump. Obviously, that should make the jump easier. I mean, Allen obviously has that time with his receiver. I mean, the pandemic hasn't helped Drew Lock get into that rhythm, but I think, I mean, the big thing about Drew Lock is just, you know, he's got it. I mean, whatever that it is, just listen to him speak. You see the guys around him, you know, they believe in him. I just watch him speak and watch his five performances last season. I just struggle to see how he fails to not become a top quarterback in the league with what he's got.
Yeah.
With the weapons he's got around him now, I would like to think, no offense to the Bills, I would like to think that is a sort of game the Broncos should be winning if we want to be a playoff team next year.
I mean, is there anything, when you've looked at what the Bills have done, obviously with us actually signing Diggs and what we've done, free agency and all that, is there anything that really worries you as a Broncos fan when you head to head into the game week 14?
I mean, obviously it is week 14, so a lot could happen before then that could really worry me. I mean, again, it's...
And a lot could be on the line too.
Yeah, so. It could. Yeah. I mean, the secondary has big question marks, of course, still. You know, Boye is kind of the only proven guy with Callahan's injury, so of course that is a concern at the moment. We need to see how that comes into effect. And then obviously, I mean, how's your pass rush shaping up?
It's actually getting a little bit, it's got a lot better. I think you'll see Jordan Phillips going, Shaq Lawson going, but the additions we've had, AJ Epinesa will come into his own. Quinton Jefferson, who's actually had a good year for Seattle. I think we've got a lot of interchangeable pieces on there. Yes, we've lost Lutelele.
So
I think it'll be a matchup one in the trenches more than anything. So I think the pass rush has gone. And obviously, we've got Ed
Edwards and Milano. Hopefully. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've got Juwan James, the right tackle, opted out today. So
big news there, yeah.
The offensive line, I mean, there's Garrett Bowles. I mean, the centre, the three inter, you know, the what's the word now? You know, the interior, that's the word. The interior offensive line
interior lineman,
looks strong with Reisner. And then you've got Lloyd Cushenberry coming in at centre as well, and then
Bosco.
So the question marks are at the tackle positions. So you know, that's an area of concern as well.
Yeah. So
you
nothing
feel good up the middle, but we could maybe attack on the edge is what you're saying.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, Drew Lock with his mobility, hopefully he can help cover some of those, you know, areas of weakness. But that is probably the tackles are the weak point on this offense. That's for sure.
So you're not scared of what Josh Allen can do, not just in the air, but on the ground with his feet as well. Then
the concern. Well, I mean, with the pass rush that we've put together now, you would like to think that they can cause him a lot of bother. I mean, I'm going to be disappointed if it isn't a top five defense with the money we've spent on it and the guys that are there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd like to think that they can cause a lot of problems for any quarterback in this league.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is about whether this offense can click early enough.
Yeah. So you're hoping,
there's a lot of confidence coming from your way.
I mean, it's looking good for the first time in a few years, as I've said. The defense has been decent for the last few years as well. You know, that's the reason why the Broncos have managed to win 5, 6, 7 games and not be completely bottoming out.
I think
it's whether the offense can click now.
I think you're probably, out of the guests we've had, you're the most positive guest we've actually had.
Well, when we've asked this guess, game about, I take it you haven't had Kansas City Chiefs on or anything like that. I don't know.
We're gonna have to check that soon. Yeah, but. And as from an outsider's point of view, you're way too optimistic to be British too. It just doesn't sound right to me.
Well,
pick the things you can be optimistic about, I suppose. Yeah. And at the moment, this is one of them. I mean, it, you know, could be. I mean, by week four, I could be saying, no, this is a Bills win straight over. If we start off cold and you guys start off hot.
Yeah, no, it is. But, it is really early for any kind of prediction. But so you're saying for your team to take that next step, this game has to be a win. If you had to put it on paper now, what do you think?
I think it will be. Forgive me for. Where is the game at? I've completely
blanked. It's Broncos. It's at your place.
Broncos Stadium. So, yeah, for the Broncos to take the next step, they at home.
Gotta win it.
They have to be winning this game, really. On the road, it, you know, more of a question mark. But, yeah, I think at home. I still think it'll be a tight one. I'm not sure the Broncos are in positions to blow anyone out at this stage, really. You know, I mean, what they say. Lose big, lose small, win small, and then eventually win big. The Broncos hopefully are on the win small stage of that growth. So, you know, you're looking at kind of maybe, you know, mid-20s, you know, 24, 21, that sort of game. But, you know, if the Broncos want to be a playoff team, this is a game at home they should be winning.
Yeah.
No, especially you know, you've got to play the Chiefs twice.
Too. I mean, looking like at our tough schedule, this is a game where we're probably going to need to get a road win here more than anywhere else on our schedule. So it's important for both teams. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Your division is, you know, I'm not quite sure what's going to happen there. I mean, you guys possibly favorites for the division, do you think?
Well, I don't think the Patriots keep losing players every day. I know, so that's getting better and better as the days go by.
And then, you know, I would say the AFC West is a much tougher division than the East at the moment with the Chiefs. Mm. You don't entirely know what you've got with the Chargers and Raiders, given what, you know, the Chargers' new quarterback, definitely, whether it's Taylor or Herbert. Mm. They've got an elite defense as well, the Chargers. So, you know, those games could be tough. I mean, you probably put the Broncos probably looking to go at least 3-3 in the division.
Mm.
You know, Chargers on the road could be a loss. And then the two Chiefs games, you'd look to nick one of those, but you can't be confident of that. And then you're looking to sweep the Raiders, pick up one, you know. So 3-3 in the division. And then that means you kind of have to think that these games at home. Outside against teams like the Bills. The
Chargers game, though, is going to be a home game for you because nobody in LA likes the Chargers. Nobody cares.
I mean, to be fair, there probably won't be any Broncos fans there anyway at the moment, will there? So
there's no Chargers fans there either.
Oh, yeah, there's not going to be fans of anyone anywhere. Right? Yeah.
So on a normal year, then, but this year, who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's cool. No, Thomas, thank you very much for joining us on the show, talking Broncos, talking the game. For obviously listeners, if they want to get a bit more info on the UK Broncos and anything else, you want to tell us where they can find you, if you've got any anything worked or anything like that?
Yes, on Twitter, it's at UK Denver Broncos, and then Facebook, just search Denver Broncos UK if you want to check out some what could prove to be hopeless optimism on the upcoming season, but I suppose we'll find out.
Yeah, no, that is awesome. So, Thomas, thank you again very much for coming on. We wish you everything bar week 14. Good luck for the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys as well. And, you know, maybe we'll see Drew Lock and Josh Allen fighting it out in a playoff game.
Yes.
Someday.
We will.
And we can really find out who's going to come out on top.
Yeah, exactly. Thomas, thank you very much, buddy.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Not us.
Not us.
You don't know anything about heart.
You know anything about work?
No.
That's who we are.
Nails on three. One, two, three.